Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Sheer Luck Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff and Polly Sayer. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Nice to be in person.
It is nice to be in person.
How are you guys? How was your weekend, Lou?
It was so nice. It felt actually quite long. We went back to Bristol on Wednesday night and then worked from there for a few days. And just having a change of scenery, I think, is just good for the soul when you're working from home. And then we had a lovely evening at Babington House on Friday night. The heat wave was intense last week. And then on Friday night, we were literally woken up in the middle of the night by the most insane thunderstorm. It was crazy. Thunder, lightning. I quite enjoy it though when you're inside. There's something quite calm about it. So it was very weird going from being like dripping with sweat on Friday afternoon to then having a bath on Saturday morning.
We went for a roast yesterday when it was pouring with rain. And like, I quite like that, but it was a bit like, well, it's July.
I know. It's so strange. Yeah. But yeah, we went swimming in the rain, which is also one of my favourite things to do. I had a quite active weekend. We played tennis. It was lovely. Yeah. And actually, on Saturday night, we were going to drive back to London and we were going to stop off in Bath for dinner. And I saw India Semi, who runs the India Edit. I put up this post about this vegan veggie restaurant she'd gone to in Bath called Oak. So I was like, perfect, let's go there. It was one of the best meals I've had in such a long time.
Go on, why?
Amazing. For someone who is fussy to go out to a restaurant, I often, you know, there's kind of one or two things normally you have on a menu. It's not like you've got like loads and loads of choice, depending on the restaurant that you go to. So to go somewhere and literally everything on there be like, yum. It was just amazing.
So like what did you eat?
So we had like deep fried courgette sticks in then a sourdough crumb. It was called like a courgette and barbecue pea ragu, but it was kind of like this spring pea puree then with these vegetables kind of folded through and then like a pine nut crust on top. Amazing. Wow. Miso aubergine with pickles, radish.
Yum.
And then it was kind of like lasagna sheets over then roasted aubergine and roasted tomatoes, which was amazing. And then what do we have? Putting like a chocolate hard ganache with then a raspberry sorbet and then again like a brownie crumble.
Yum. That sounds absolutely
amazing. And it was so affordable.
Really?
Yeah. So shocked actually at the price.
I feel like eating outside of London is always like a surprise treat, isn't it?
But I think they used to be called Acorn and they were more of a fine dining experience. Okay. And so they then kind of through the pandemic changed in a more of a like relaxed environment. So yeah, if you're doing a little staycation or you're going to Bath, do check it out. It's a tiny little restaurant, not a huge amount of tables, but we managed to walk in and sit in the window. So yeah, it was nice.
We did a guide to Somerset a couple of weeks ago.
Was it not on there? And I went through the guide to find a booking and obviously it was very last minute, so everyone was pretty booked up. But yeah, we were really lucky, which went early doors.
Okay, good. Well, if you do need other recommendations in Somerset, then you can have a look at the guide on the site. Mm. When we went to Solcombe a month or so ago, we stopped at Houser and Worth at the gallery in Bruton?
Yeah.
So Houser and Worth is a gallery in Mayfair. And then they have this kind of, it's a house, but it's an outside gallery as well, right by the Newt. And they've got a restaurant there that's a bit like the restaurant at Petersham. It's got that kind of vibe to it. It's also got a farm shop, like the most heavenly little farm shop ever. We bought fresh flowers on the way back and it was just gorgeous. Oh. So you can really, there's so many lovely spots there, aren't there?
So nice. We actually went to their summer festival a couple of years ago and we like stumbled across it. We were staying at the chapel for a weekend and just by chance, they happened to have it on at the same time. And it was such a fun day out. So it was a really good spot. Actually, there's lots of great homeware places there as well.
You can rent the house there at Houser and Worth, and it's not stupidly expensive. I sent it to my friends. It's like, you know, next time we all want to rent somewhere. So yeah, another really good spot.
Great.
Polly, how was your weekend? You also were out and about.
I was, yeah. I went to Rye for a wedding, and I've been to Rye before, so kind of, you know, I was expecting it's like obviously really pretty and gorgeous and near Cambuslang. So we managed to go to the beach on both mornings and have a little swim in the sea, and there's something really, like, I don't know, invigorating about going for like a quite a cold sea swim, and like the weather really held out. We were really expecting it to be like awful, but it was kind of sort of microclimate, I guess. The sun shone on the wedding day, and like, I don't know, it's just such good vibes. I guess it's like the first wedding I've been to since COVID, and it felt, I'd say, entirely normal, bar the fact that one of the wedding favors was some hand sanitizer and it was like, spread love not germs or something on it, which is quite funny.
Did you have to wear masks in the ceremony?
No, we didn't, because it was outside. I mean, I don't know what they would have done if it was raining, because it was very much outside, like the ceremony, like, we, you know, the reception,
and did you have to do tests before?
Yeah, they all kind of asked everyone to do a lateral flow, which I think is sensible.
I just don't know why you wouldn't do that.
No, I mean, it's like a no-brainer, isn't it? And yeah, it just kind of takes that pressure off everyone, and you really feel like you can like relax a bit more. And I know they had some guests there, like family members who were vulnerable, so I think they were quite hot on the fact they wanted everyone to have done that. It was just so fun to like dress up and to dance. Like, just haven't done that in so long.
You looked amazing. Yes. For those who haven't seen what Polly wore this weekend, have a look at her Instagram. I mean, it looks incredible.
Thanks. Yeah, I rented a Vampire's Wife dress from her, which there's such a no-brainer to rent for weddings, because, you know, you get to wear something really incredible for a day, and then realistically you're probably not going to wear that to like another wedding that season, so you can then just give it back and someone else can get some more joy from it. And yeah, it was really fun to just like wear something jazzy, right?
Like, can I ask, it's like quite a covered up dress, and it's got these long billowing sleeves. Were you a bit hot?
Do you know what? You know, during the ceremony, I was a bit hot because we were like sat in direct sunlight, whatever. But actually, the dress itself, the material is quite like light.
Yeah, it's quite floaty.
Silky, floaty fabric. So it looks like it's really heavy. But actually, it was fine. Just being stood in the sun, I was obviously like a bit sweaty, but I probably would have been a bit sweaty in anything.
So. And did you feel extra careful about spills or tears or anything like that?
Kind of did. I guess I'd always be careful. No one wants to be covered in a drink or food or whatever, so I'm never going to be like going in for it. But I do think about it sometimes. I'm like, God, what if I just like completely ripped it? But then you pay for like damage protection, don't you? So, you know, if anything did, God forbid, happen to it, you'd be covered. But no, I looked after it, and it, I just wish I could wear it again.
I've rented one for a wedding on Thursday, and it comes up like round to the top, like round neck, and it's white up here. And I'm obviously having a spray tan before, and I literally woke up in the middle of the night being like, oh, what if it just is completely ruined on the inside?
Oh, I think
I'll have to just really wash my chest and not apply any additional tan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, have nothing fresh on my chest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What fabric is it?
Cotton. It's a really light cotton.
Okay.
It's that floral urgent one that I sent you guys.
And it's amazing.
It is amazing. Oh. But I feel a bit like I've gone a bit rogue.
No, I think the other option was quite ordinary. I don't think you'd be like, oh, that was a good rental.
No, the other option was a little slip dress.
Yeah.
It's a bit more special, this one.
100%.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. I think that's the joy of renting, is kind of go something isn't like something you already have in your wardrobe or you would buy yourself.
And also, it cost me £98 and it's a £1,500 early dress.
Yeah, like, completely.
Insane. Oh, wait, have you settled on a rental dress yet?
No, I'm really struggling. Of all the weddings I've been to, I've only ever twice worn a dress. And there is a reason why. I just find it so difficult to find a dress that suits me, feels like my style. Like, my like number one rule with getting dressed for like any occasion is to make sure you feel comfortable. And I put these on, it's like nice, but I just don't feel like me, and I just don't want to be like adjusting myself or feeling like
I agree.
Like, my body shape, it just doesn't suit dresses.
Do you usually wear like a suit then to a wedding?
Yeah, I would normally wear separates.
But why don't you do that on this occasion?
Because I also then just like can't find a nice top, and I've kind of, the weddings I've been to, I feel like I've like sort of done that formula.
Yeah.
I haven't also seen like a really cool suit or like an amazing blouse that, if I found one of those pieces, great. But I went to Selfridges a few weeks ago and tried something on again in her, and my husband was literally obsessed with it, and I was like, ooh, it's quite different.
What was it?
The yellow.
Oh yes, yeah.
So I literally spent like 3 hours yesterday trying to find something, and
still
Still not sure.
I so agree with you. I feel like it's almost the hardest thing to get right. I don't think I don't suit dresses, but I like to wear like such baggy oversized clothes. And then that's really hard to translate into black tie evening wear.
Yeah.
Like really hard.
Yeah. I also feel like pre-pandemic, I probably wouldn't care so much. Mm. But I think now that everyone is so like invested in these events and getting so dressed up and putting so much more effort into the outfits. So I don't know. Yeah. It's hard.
I found this one so stressful, but I now have one a month until Christmas. So like, I don't know what I'm doing for the one the other in 3 weeks. Like that's a whole other question. Yeah. Very stressful.
It is a bit of a stressful one, isn't it?
It really
but
is.
In a way, I like to think of like wedding guest dressing. It's almost like another version of yourself. The dress I wore at the weekend, I wouldn't say it's like 100% representative of my style day to day, but it was like really fun to wear for a day, and it's almost like adopting like a character.
Yeah,
isn't it?
But
like,
I think if I don't think it matters so much if it's not like your style, but as long as you feel great in it.
Yeah, so true.
I think it's almost really fun to kind of play on those like different sides of your style, or you know, amplify that a little bit more. But you've just got to feel good in it.
Yeah, that's it. Like normally, my style for weddings is actually quite sexy, and I do not dress sexy in normal like everyday life. I wear literally men's clothes. I don't know. I've always felt really good in a slip dress or something really short or something. But I don't know. I feel a bit old for that now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just doesn't suit me as much anymore. I think I just put on weight, that's all. But it just doesn't suit me as much as it used to.
And so most of yours are black tie?
Yeah, all a black tie. Yeah. Okay. Which I think is easier.
Yeah, I think
it's
that's easier
than what you guys have.
I kind of feel like this like day dress is difficult because there's a lot of dresses out there at the moment which, you know, you can wear to work and then, you know, we talk about it all the time on the show, you know, add a pair of heels and some nice jewellery and you dress up for the evening. But then I guess the point that you're then wearing that in the day, you can wear, it then just doesn't feel so special.
Yeah, this is it.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, we will continue to do our best research for you guys. We clearly don't have all the answers either, but we will do our best research to help you guys find dresses because we know how hard it is. Has anyone got anything to recommend? Anything you've been watching, listening to?
So the other week I watched a documentary called Wonder Boy, which tells the story of Olivier Rousteing, the creative director of Balmain, on the search for his biological parents. So he was adopted just after birth and gets to a stage of his life where he wants to know more about his heritage. The documentary is kind of split. It's very, very raw and very emotional, and you really see him break down and see a completely different side to his character, which I don't know much about him personally, but you have this, I guess, idea of what he was like, he is like through the fashion industry.
He's got a very fabulous persona, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's super sensitive. You know, there's a lot of clips of him just, you know, by himself in his apartment, and he seems quite lost actually. But then alongside it, he is preparing for shows, he's in fittings, he's got, you know, everybody asking for him. So he's very much living like these two lives. And I think seeing the parallel between the two is just so fascinating. And it's really raw because essentially he basically gets his adoption papers and goes through the file, but you are watching him as he opens it and discovers all that information for the very first time. And there's one scene in particular where he breaks down like I've never seen anybody cry before.
Really?
Anyway, it's really, really emotional and a really beautiful watch. And yeah, just something a little bit different. I wasn't expecting from him. But yeah, lovely. Yeah.
I feel like kind of the more you watch those documentaries about creatives and fashion designers in particular, like the more you realise what a kind of niche personality type they are. And it always just makes me think of House of Z as well, you know, the Zac Posen documentary.
Yeah.
Like, they're just so strange, so many of these
guys. I know, one of my favourites is the Manolo one. Have you guys seen
that? House of Liz,
the man who made shoes for lizards,
that's
or something like that.
Must watch it. Yeah.
That's amazing. But yeah, completely the same. And you know, even at the other end of the spectrum, the Alexander McQueen documentary as well.
Yes,
there is such, and I think you realise like how demanding that job is. I think, you know, from the outside, you might think, oh, you know, so glamorous. But it's so, so demanding.
It's like, well, Halston proves that, doesn't it?
Well, I was just going to say, I think you guess you have to have that element of eccentricity in order to make it work. Combine that with the demands of the job, it must just send you like a particular way.
And yeah. Did you guys see Marc Jacobs' facelift?
No.
Marc Jacobs had a facelift last week. Have a look on Insta. Hang on, let's get it up.
It's crazy. Like, digital detox over the weekend. So you're quite good at doing this.
You're really good at that. Yeah. It's on his. I would never say never to plastic surgery, but it blows my mind that anyone put themselves through the pain that this facelift looks like it would cause. He's wearing this insane head bandage. This is on his personal Instagram account, which is the Marc Jacobs. And then look at his weird plastic face when it's finished.
The shape of his head has changed. It's
completely changed. Yeah. And like, he was such a beautiful man. I don't know why he's done this to himself.
Oh, it's a real, not drastically different, but different in a way that makes him look more fake,
yeah.
I guess.
Like, if that was him before, yeah. and he just looked like a kind of handsome, chiseled, slightly
yeah.
older guy,
yeah.
he now looks like a kind of handsome, chiseled, slightly older yeah. guy who's had a facelift, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. I worry about the future and aging gracefully mm. and the fact that, you know, I don't know, in 100 years' time, maybe that just won't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And everybody will be going through things like this in, you know, in a different way, in the mm. same way that
yeah.
Botox and fillers have changed hugely in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
I worry about it.
I do think like it's very much each to their own with surgery and things like that. But then at the same time, it's just such a fine line, isn't it, between doing it for the right reasons, mm. whatever the right reasons are, whether it's because that will genuinely make you feel better about yourself, mm. and in which case it's like, okay, great, more power to you. But then I also wonder if people are doing it to make themselves feel better because there's like a pressure on you yeah. to look mm. a certain way. It's like a really weird catch-22, isn't it?
And but also, I do feel like there's a difference between treatments, you know, mm. to change little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe this is completely wrong versus like, yeah, full on plastic surgery, which just yeah. feels, it almost feels dated now, don't you think?
Yeah. And there's only going to be more and more things added to the list of things that you can get done
yeah.
as time goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Madness.
Christ.
I had a facial on Friday. I went to a lady called Ada Oi, I think is how you pronounce it. She is the founder of 001 Skincare. And she, well, I'll tell you about the patient in a second, but she basically was like, you're not moisturizing your forehead enough. She's like, your forehead oh. is dry. And she was like, when your forehead is dry and you're expressive, then your wrinkles are going to be so ah. much worse. And she's like, give me all the moisturizer immediately. Oh, she's like, God. Yeah, you're really like cracking your head here because you Fantastic. Always lift your eyebrows when you speak.
No.
Oh, please man. Give me a better moisturizer. So yeah, top tip is keep your forehead nice and moist. But can I just tell you about this facial? Because it was so incredible. She kind of comes at facials from a kind of holistic meets beauty meets ancient Chinese practice perspective. Everything's like super holistic. So basically before I went, I was sent a form, like a kind of COVID health form. And at the end, it was like, can you please send us a photo of your tongue? I was like, I sent it to my friends. Oh, this is so weird. Like, can I tell if I have COVID from my tongue? Like, surely everyone would be doing that. Anyway, it turns out that wasn't for COVID. It was because in ancient Chinese practice, you can tell a lot about a person's health from their tongue.
Really?
Guys, she said, I've got the healthiest tongue she's ever seen.
Oh, stop. Wow.
I know.
That's amazing.
I know. I'm so pleased with myself. And the only thing she could tell on my tongue, can you see? How it's kind of a little bit scalloped at the side.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That is an indication of slight liver deficiencies. But all that means is stress comes out via your liver. Everything she said, like, and I don't know about you guys, but I always find this when you speak to somebody who's got that kind of naturopath education, every single thing she said about the human body, you're like, wow, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's so rational. She works a lot with women who are going through the menopause. And she was explaining to me, they're big believers in keeping your body heated, like from the inside out. And she was saying, you know, a lot of women, like particularly at menopausal age, are trying to kind of be skinny, so therefore aren't eating enough carbohydrates or whatever. And therefore their body doesn't have enough energy to fight the symptoms of menopause. And so everything's just so like logical. Like, she's like, you know, you really need to keep your ankles warm. You need to be eating carbohydrates. And you need to be doing all of this to keep your body temperature internally really warm, so it's got enough energy to fight symptoms of XYZ. Like, that's just so sensible, isn't it? Just so many things like that. And yeah, I don't know, I might have said this to you guys, but over the last 6 months I've noticed a really dark shadow just under this eye. Like, it looks like I've been punched a lot of the time. And she was like, basically anything that's wrong with your body, it kind of churns up and then it kind of comes out. She said it's stress, but that I need to eat sour food. That was her advice.
So
I know. I don't think it means like tangtastics. I think it means like,
I know,
just gutted.
But you are
toxic waste. You guys remember toxic waste?
I remember like a packet of Haribo every day. Why have I still got stuff in my liver?
Rude. I was there for nearly 2 hours. And you know when you're like, I've just learned so much. It was so fascinating.
Oh, it's such a cliche, but when you do practice self-care, you feel so much better about yourself.
And you think
there is a reason why people say this is good for you. But
I know,
for some reason, I still just don't do it.
And she just made me want to go away and just like drink broth and like wrap myself up and be really healthy.
Yeah.
But I think particularly if you feel like there's something kind of going on with your body that's coming out in your face, so worth a visit.
Yeah. Okay. I had one of those maybe, I think it was probably last summer, and it was an acupuncture facial.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had acupuncture before and was really excited about it. And I came out from it feeling
so like refreshed. It was literally like someone had just like pushed a reset button on me. And I was like, whoa, okay. And I remembered it was really hot and I'd driven across London to get there and I was a bit late and I was all like frantic and worried and stressed about it all. And then I had this facial and I came out and I was like,
oh, great.
Okay.
You know, in Sex and the City when Charlotte goes for the acupuncture when she's trying to drown out the noise of the city for her fertility, like that is exactly how it feels, isn't it? And you're just coming out like, oh, so zen. Anyway, that's me. Can I just read you guys a quote that I saw on Instagram before? This is, we've sort of doing a bit of a loop because this relates back to the fashion chat, the designer chat. This is a quote from Nick Knight, who is owner of Show Studio. He's a big, big name in the fashion industry. So he was asked in an interview, what do you think about the traditions of our industry? Do we need to change? And this is a quote from him. He says, if you separate yourself from the debate a little and ask, well, what's the best way to show fashion? You wouldn't come up with a catwalk. If you put that question to a community of incredibly creative people, one wouldn't imagine that they'd come up with the same answer as we've had the last 70 years. Our raison d'etre is to invent the future. Fashion is a predictive medium, so it's full of people who want to see something they haven't seen before. Yet there's this weird anomaly when it comes to presenting the collections, which are full of new ideas in the same way they used to be in 1940. That seems a little bit odd to me. So his point obviously is it's so weird for such a creative industry to still be presenting clothes in such an archaic way. Like the fashion show basically hasn't come on at all. The whole format has been the same for 70 years. And isn't that strange?
Yeah. I feel like it kind of has come on though. I feel like there's kind of ways to interpret what a show is these days. And I feel like that sort of has evolved.
As much as like the format in its essence hasn't changed, there's so many ways you can do a show and, you know, make it as elaborate or as minimal as you want. And the setting can change, you know, like Jacquemus doing it in a field. And, you know, as much as I get his point, but I also do think like, well, if it ain't broke, and that's maybe the best way to showcase your collection.
I kind of think it is broke. But saying that, after I watched this Olivia Roos thing docu, I immediately went to go and watch that Balmain show from last summer.
The one that we watched.
Which, you remember, we were all
it was amazing.
Like, floored by how amazing
So that was going to be my point, because I'm guessing what he's challenging is not the kind of the format exactly, but it's the idea that, you know, everybody gets on a plane and there's a five format, you know, everybody flies around the world and you go and look at these, and it's just that hasn't been updated. And obviously some people are so anti the kind of digitization of fashion, but that show, I genuinely don't believe that our enjoyment or, you know, the inspiration that we got from that Balmain show last summer was even slightly impaired by the fact that we watched it on a computer screen. So therefore, to me, the future then should be digital in the same way that the future of shopping is digital as well.
I think it should definitely be more like inclusive, like in the way that digitizing it means that everyone has access to it, and previously where it would only be like editors and industry insiders that would be deemed like worthy enough to come. I think, you know, clearly so many people want to be in the conversation around fashion, even if they're not working in it, then it's only a good thing if it becomes more inclusive.
But I would say the digitalization of that show was like us watching that show, whereas if that show wasn't a show and that was kind of presented in like a different campaign format and they weren't walking down a runway in a traditional fashion show way, I don't think I'd have been as engaged with it. Part of the appeal with that was kind of it took so many like traditional show elements but put a modern spin on it. Like the fro didn't exist. But it was still a long catwalk with multiple models walking down it. So it was kind of a mix.
That was the weird show that had the screens, right? So they put
They had like the two little kids come on and they then have the remote control and they turn them on, like, you know, Anna Wintour's there.
The other one that springs to mind in a similar mode is the Isabel show, which I think was also the same season, which, where, you know, it was in the kind of Colosseum style setting, obviously in Paris. They were all in pink and it was just so joyful and colourful and fun. Also the Marc Jacobs show, was it also the same season in a school hall? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
No.
And they kind of went.
Yes.
So I feel like, to me, it's about having the audience there. Like, I so agree with you, but you don't need an audience there to create that.
Completely. No. I don't think the audience needs to be there, but I like the tradition of multiple models walking
I agree with
format.
That.
Me too. And I think it's so down and open to interpretation. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, same old, and it rarely is. I still find them exciting.
When I think about like the latest Gucci campaign with James Corden, and not that I like necessarily love it, but to me that's also like a new creative kind of relevant way to show product and to show something new. You know how that, how it's various different stuff sitting with him, like as if they're on a talk show, but it's a photo shoot. And obviously that's not in place of a catwalk show, but I think the more the industry is creative, the more you appreciate it and the more you engage with it. We're saying exactly that, like only a show with good creativity on newness is engages us now. Yeah, so I guess.
Although I really haven't enjoyed the last couple of Burberry shows, and the Burberry show used to be my highlight of Fashion Week. I used to love seeing it. It was always in the same location. Who's the artist going to be like, you know, because Christopher Bailey was such a, you know, pioneer of new musicians and upcoming, you know, British talent. And I just loved watching it.
Yeah.
And yeah, the last couple have not resonated with me at all.
Well, new designer. I was so spoiled. The first Fashion Week show I ever went to was a Christopher Bailey old school. James Bay performed before he was James Bay. Cool. They always used to do them in a tent opposite the Royal Albert Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one where Kate Moss and Cara Delevingne sat next to each other in the front row.
Oh, really good one.
Yeah, it was a really good one. It was spring, summer 2015. This was because I was interning there, by the way. I'd been there for 2 weeks and they invited me to the show. Like, I could not have lucked out more. It was insane. Obviously, this marquee is not, you know, it used to be the kind of crown jewel of London Fashion Weeks. And everybody was seated. And then suddenly you just saw this like flurry, is the only way to describe it. It was like two blonde heads with 150 photographers going snap, 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 snap. And it was just Cara and Kate storming across the top to like come back down to their seats. I mean, I honestly get goosebumps thinking about it. It was so iconic and insane. And I sat like 3 rows behind Anna Wintour and just looked at her bob the whole way through. It was amazing. Some more fashion chat, this time questions from our Instagram. Let's tackle some of the questions you guys have been asking. First up, tell us your best purchase, your not so good purchase, and your last purchase. These are three questions. Polly, your best purchase ever, what is it?
This is a fashion related question, right? Not just a purchase.
Yeah, you can't say your dog. Damn it.
I think I would maybe say a toss up between my Regina Pio trench and my Chanel sandals. Like, I know they've been fairly divisive, but I really just get so much joy every time I look down at them and I've worn them to death. My Regina Pio trench, again, I just like feel like I've got so much wear from. I'll wear for the rest of my life. And yeah, it's a bloody great coat. Almost every person that I interview and ask like what's worth investing in, like nearly everyone says coats. And it's so true, because you wear them all through the autumn, winter, like it completely transforms you. Look, so if you want to have five different trenches, you bloody buy them.
Good answer. Lou, best investment ever?
Mine is my Blasio Milano blazer,
which I meant to say to you, I don't know if it's the exact same, but near identical full price launch on Net-a-Porter today.
Yeah. It must have been a mistake that it went on sale, because it is one of their classic core styles. It's the Resolute blazer. And it must have been a mistake because it was always a dream. I was like, oh, one day I'd love to own it. But like pipe dream. I mean, they're like £1,300.
A lot. Insane. Yeah.
It would never have happened. Anyway, it went on ridiculous sale and I snapped it up very quickly. And it is exceptional. It's a navy blazer, but it's so much more than that.
I mean, it's the navy blazer.
Like the detail in the pockets, like inside the pocket, they've obviously got this gorgeous shape, but it's velvet on the inside. I mean, it's a piece of art.
It is. It's
and
beautiful.
I would love another colour in my armoury.
Would you buy the trousers?
No, I don't think so.
I actually have made the decision. The next big thing, once we've got a house out of the way, the next big investment that I would like is I'd like to have a suit made.
Nice.
Yeah, I think I'll go to the deck.
Yeah.
And a suit made, because actually, you know, we were talking before about things you feel good in, and I feel really good in a blazer, and I find it quite hard to find trousers that fit me, but I feel good when I've got a good pair of trousers that fit me. So I think if I just had a really smart two-piece made, you know, piece of
what colour would you go for?
Either navy or like a kind of oatmeal linen.
Nice.
I don't know whether I'd go summer or winter. I don't know.
And what kind of shape would the trousers be?
Trousers would be long, so I could wear them with trainers. I've got a Marge navy pair, which I wear a lot, which is the kind of shape. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So high-waisted, boxy, to the floor.
Yeah.
They work with a heel, but they also work with a flat.
Yeah, I find
that's my vibe.
Trousers on suits is probably the thing I feel that changes the most every season in terms of like what is sort of in, and I know it's not all always about the trends, whatever,
but things can really date
completely. So, you know, there was a time when it was all about crop and all about showing a little bit of ankle. That has kind of gone out the window now, and then there was kind of very long and there's a little bit flared, so it's tricky to work that out.
The look that kind of Alex Eagle tends to sport, I feel like that's my kind of blit. It's quite mannish and quite androgynous, and it's slightly slouchy trousers.
Double-breasted or single-breasted?
Definitely double-breasted. I think so. I think, yeah.
Nice. I think that's a nice idea. I know.
I think, I mean, it's a while off. I think I have to find a generous benefactor before that happens. / decorate an entire house. But for the future, in the next few years, that's what I'm thinking.
Nice. Yeah, good to have an aim.
Can I ask you what your favourite fashion purchase was?
You may. I think mine is, well, speaking of coats, it's probably my Joseph coat, my Shearling Joseph coat, which is just like a forever. I know I wear it forever because my mum has the same coat.
What about your Isabel Gilet? Would you say that's one of your best?
I love my Isabel Gilet, but I know it will date.
Yeah.
And it has also bubbled quite significantly. So I love it, but the Joseph one, like,
you've got a real wear out of it. Mm-hmm. If you don't see it past next season, I don't think that's the end of the world.
Exactly. No. And I'm not like that sentimental about things. Like, if I wear it this winter, great. And then if I don't, I'll sell it. I sold my Gucci loafer. You know, like, I'm quite happy to kind of reinvest and go forth. But I do love it. But yeah, I need to sort out that bubbling. Worst purchase, not so good purchase, was the phrasing.
Do you have anything that really springs to mind?
I'm quite a considered purchaser.
Again, I feel like I don't tend to like just impulse buy things expensively, but I've definitely bought a couple of like blouses that maybe weren't like crazy expensive. I think I bought like a self-portrait blouse on sale, but I actually realized that I have like zero ways to wear it, and I ended up selling it, so it wasn't the end of the world. But yeah, most of the time I'm really trying to be like, am I gonna wear this, do I really really love it? And so I don't feel like I end up regretting that many things.
That's good. Most recent purchase?
Oh, I got a really nice bikini from the Matcha sale from Jade Swim.
Oh, did you?
Nice. Really simple, but it's black high-waisted bottoms and then a kind of thick bandeau top, but then with thick straps as well. It kind of feels like a top almost. Okay. But I really struggle with swimwear. I've left like bikinis behind me, but often in a swimsuit when it's hot, you do get really hot.
Yeah. Mm.
So I've been on the hunt for a nice black high-waisted kind of classic, and yeah, it was on sale. Really good price, actually.
Great.
Matcha sale, so good.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah.
I haven't bought anything. Oh no, I know what I bought. I talked about this when I did the podcast with Georgie, but I just bought the Rotate blue.
Oh yes.
Vegan. They call them vegan leather. Oh, I'm going to call them PVC trousers, which are really cool.
They are really cool. Yeah. And we've been talking about introducing more color into our autumn wardrobes, as much as it still seems like a while away. It's good to plan ahead.
It's really good. Yeah.
And that will be a really fun way to introduce some colour.
This is, so Polly and I, to bring you up to speed, we've been talking a lot about this, and obviously it's less relevant for you because you're not going to start injecting bright colour into your autumn wardrobe anytime soon. You obviously look cool in like jeans and a jumper, but I feel like for most people that's quite hard. I don't, you know, that's not always the easiest thing to feel kind of really fashionable in. We feel that going for something like really more colorful is kind of my ticket to looking a bit cooler when it's colder. So I've decided that the only way to do that is to now only buy colorful things for winter.
Yeah, because it's so easy to slip into
interesting
that.
She says after just talking about buying a navy suit.
I'm gonna buy a navy suit, and there's also I do need a navy jumper and I need some white boots, but once I've bought those things then I will buy color. I don't want to wear color every day. Like, I would wear a navy suit with a white t-shirt some days too. But just to kind of, that knitwear brand I sent you called Bubba from Spain have really cool oversized jumpers in like, there's a lilac, there's a pink, and I feel like I'm gonna just do that, like a lilac big knit, printed trousers, white boots. Like, I'm gonna go down that avenue this winter.
Nice.
It's so hard. I feel like in the summer I feel most like myself because it's way easier to just be like playful and wear these like cool colors and fun prints and stuff, and then as soon as the winter comes in, I just really feel like I need to bring myself some joy this winter and keep on wearing those fun things rather than just slip into wearing
Be interesting, I think, seeing this winter how, because I feel like people have been more experimental with their summer style. I'm the complete opposite. Like, I hate my wardrobe this summer, and Amrit as well, who's on our team, she is the same as me. She's just like, I cannot wait for autumn winter. And I literally look at my wardrobe and I'm like, it's literally just all these knits and blazers just waiting, gathering dust, waiting for their time to shine. So yeah, I can't wait for that. But it's been interesting. I think more people have worn more colour and like fun pieces this summer. So I think going into winter, it'll be interesting to see if people do the same.
Yeah. It could be a challenge, but I'm willing to accept it.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to make a real active effort. That's the plan. Let's do it. Finally, there's a question here which I'd like to sit and talk about, which is favourite couple on this year's Love Island.
Guys, I've got big news. I'm out.
No!
I missed 3 days and I was like, shall I catch up? And then I thought, no, don't waste 3 hours of your life.
Sorry,
but it's just like, I don't like any of them. I don't miss any of them. Mm. I'm not invested in any of them personally.
I feel like it's got good in the last few episodes. I've been like, yes, this is why you hold out for Love Island to get good. Like, I totally agree. At one point in the first like week or two, I was a bit like, I think this is me out now. I'm done. And then I don't know, like, it's just like nothing else to do. Like at 9 o'clock on the evenings, I'm just like, but a bit Love Island, and it has got good now. Yeah. I would say. Do you agree?
I really do. And also, Chloe, who works on our commercial team, the other day sent me a Vice do this roundup on every Monday, a kind of roundup of the week. And she sent it to me a few weeks ago, and I kind of forgot about it. And she sent it to me again this morning, and like, it just really makes me think about it in a really different way. Like, all the people I hate, it like explains like why they're necessary on Love Island. Like, Toby, who's just like the worst person ever. And I'm like, oh, get Toby out. Yeah. It like explains why Toby is like making very good television.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, I actually really get it. And it's true. I love to hate them.
Do you follow What Eva Wears on Instagram? No. She does really good Love Island commentary. Okay, so this is from me. From she says she's out. I'm obviously,
I was gonna say, you're just getting your information from elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't have to have hours and hours watching it. But yeah, she does good Love Island commentary. Okay. So it's good follow.
To check that out.
Okay, noted. Thanks. Sorry, that was a massive tangent. Finally, let's end on some fashion. Okay, we had loads of questions about wedding dressing. We kind of touched on this at the beginning, but from a bride perspective, one of the questions was registry wedding outfit ideas, please. Lou, we both have registry weddings. We both wore white suits. Is that what you'd wear again today?
100%. I still love my outfit so much, and I'd love to do it all over again. I'm really excited about the fact that I still get to have the wedding and, you know, wear a dress. But I still, you know, pre-COVID, I was always more excited about doing that. Yet, kind of talking about being sort of true to our own style, that was way more me. So yeah, 100%. But I feel like there are so many good options like on the high street or kind of at contemporary brand price points now.
Yeah,
I feel like there's just so much lush whiteness out
there. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like a registry for me, I mean, I didn't have one of those, but it's the opportunity to wear something that like isn't full bridal, but I don't know, more playful and less traditional, like with a big sleeve that maybe you wouldn't want to wear to your like real wedding, but there's still an opportunity for you to wear something quite fun and quite playful. That when else would you wear that?
That Ilta sequin white dress brings to mind. Yes, you know, that's so such good. A good dress.
Yeah. And
all of Rixo's collection. Rixo, as well.
That two-piece from our wedding shoot.
Yeah, there's so many cool mid-price ones. So I just think that's two opportunities to wear something fabulous.
That's it, because I think pre-pandemic, I went for a suit because that was a conservative option and it was going to be super different to my wedding dress. Whereas now, you might not be having a traditional dress or you might just be off the kind of a fuck it mentality.
Would you wear something different now?
Yeah, I'd probably go more fun because if it was going to be my only wedding, then hell yeah, I'd want something crazy, like super fun. But even if I was still having a big white dress, I think it'd probably be a bit more playful.
I would actually now, in hindsight, not even just from a registry perspective, I would wear something more fun. I wonder if that's just post-pandemic brain. Like, I'm just like, do more fun stuff. Yes. Like, wear something crazy if you want to.
I don't think you ever regret being more dressed up.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Agreed. Anyway, we are running a feature on this week's wedding edition about renting your wedding dresses. And there is everything. So if you want a really traditional wedding dress, you can rent those. My Wardrobe HQ, unbelievable destination for like in proper, you know, Marquesa wedding dresses. Mm. But also plenty of, more contemporary options out there as well. So maybe that's one to consider.
Yeah.
We've come full circle. We're talking about renting again. What a lovely place to end. Thank you both so much. Thank you as usual for all your questions. If you have any more, please do email podcast@sheerlux.com or look out for the question box on Instagram every weekend. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, please do rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.